The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
How good will Brady be because of Gronk? By that same measure, if you put your finger on it, if you could sharpen your pencil and calculate it, how clear is it that Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time? Let's do just that. Let's put some numbers to the opinions. The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Neil Payne is a senior writer for 538. 538 is a data and analytics site that breaks down things in politics, news, and sports, and will do just what I described, put a sharpened pencil to paper to figure out which opinions are right or not. And Neil Payne is on our phone lines right now. What's up, Neil?
Hey, Will. Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. Glad to have you, man. Let's start with the closest thing to breaking news we have, which was yesterday. Rob Gronkowski signed, first was traded from the New England Patriots to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's reunited with Tom Brady. Let's talk about what that means. Like, we all realize safety blanket, best tight end probably of the last decade, definitely best target that Tom Brady's had. What does Gronk do for Brady by the numbers?
Well, yeah, when you look at ever since Gronk came into the league in 2010, the splits for Brady's passing numbers when he's throwing to Gronk versus when he's throwing to literally anyone else, it's a huge differential. The passer rating to Gronk is 121.6. The passer rating to everyone else is 95. And if you just go down the line, look at completion percentage, yards per attempt, touchdown rate, even first downs per attempt, 50.2% of all of Brady's passes to Gronk resulted in a first down. Only 35.9% of his passes to everyone else did. And the other big stat is winning percentage. When Gronk started a game and Brady also started that game, the Patriots won 79% of the time. In other games, he only won 72.5% of the time. So I think there's a real clear split between the two that underscores what you mentioned, the security blanket factor, just the fact that when Brady and Gronk hooked up, it was historic, 78 touchdown passes between the two of them, which is the fifth most for any quarterback and receiver or tight end combination of all time. Number one is Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison in 112. So they're really kind of presented with an opportunity here to, you know, gain ground on some of these historic figures as well as a dynamic duo.
Yeah, you point out it's a historic combination. Manning and Harrison, as you said, 112 touchdowns. But just listen to these other combinations. I think it's fascinating. So Philip Rivers and Antonio Gates, Steve Young and Jerry Rice, and Dan Marino and Mark Clayton. Those are the combos that Brady and Gronk find themselves in company with. Now, you know, the thing that everybody's going to do, Neil, is be somewhat dismissive, and they're going to put walkers in both these guys' hands and act like it's something that mattered a couple of years ago. I haven't written off Brady, and I don't know what Gronk comes back like, but I got to imagine, I'm not going to say it's going to be where it was at the height of their combination, but it's got to make this transition for Brady easier, and that's what this is all about, because we know this. His weapons in Tampa vastly outrate what he had in New England at the end. And then that question is to you, what do they do with all those tight ends? There's too many, all right? That's, I mean, you can have too many. O.J. Howard, Cameron Bray, Gronk. What do you do here?
Yeah, I you kind of feel like maybe one of those guys will be on the move, although, you know, I haven't heard anything specific about it, but everybody is kind of talking about that. And, you know, even if they just keep one of the two guys that they had last year, maybe it's Howard, maybe it's Cam Brate, and then add Gronk into that, that's a pretty dangerous double tight end combination. And we've seen Brady thrive in the past with a really dynamic pairing of tight ends when he had Gronk and he had the late Aaron Hernandez. So I think we've seen Brady be comfortable with that setup. And then when you're talking about the receivers that the Bucs have, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, both of those guys had more than 1,100 receiving yards last season, and it's just a huge upgrade in terms of weapons that he can throw to compared with what he was working with in New England. And we should also point out that Rob Gronkowski, his final year with the Patriots, he sort of fell off a little bit. He missed some games and also averaged the fewest yards per game that he had had since a rookie. But still, he had 682 yards and three touchdowns. Though the 682 yards would have led all Tampa Bay tight ends last year. And I know different offense, different kind of circumstances, Jameis Winston at quarterback and so forth. But that does sort of show you that, you know, if Gronk is able to come back with any version of what he had had when we last saw him, last game that he played was winning a Super Bowl. And I should add, making a pretty important catch to help the Patriots secure that one in the end.
Neil Payne, senior writer at 538 here on The Will Cain Show. As you know, everyone is paying attention. Everybody's tuned in, 6-point-something million people, to The Last Dance, a documentary on ESPN about Michael Jordan. It's the closest we have to a sporting event right now. And you've got an article up right now that I think, first of all, I think you're telling us something that we should already have come to accept as a truism anyway, but not everybody does, and that is Michael Jordan's a GOAT. He is the greatest basketball player of all time. There are still those that believe that LeBron is there with Jordan. I think Kareem is criminally underrated when it comes to these discussions. But I know you put some numbers to this as well. Tell me what you came out with.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great comparison with LeBron. And when I went into my story, just looking at, you know, the numbers of where Jordan compares to some of these guys, I expected LeBron to be right, you know, neck and neck with Jordan, just because he has been such a darling of the advanced stats since he really broke out in the mid 2000s. But one of the things that we found when we came up with our new Raptor player rating, which is a kind of a plus minus rating that looks at, you know, not just your own statistics, but also how you helped the team perform when you were on the court versus off. We found that Jordan added 8.6 points per 100 possessions of margin to his team's differential. And LeBron in his career has only added 7.5 points per 100. So it's a little bit of a gap. It's more than 1 point per game between the two of them. And that underscores just that Jordan, you know, oftentimes we see guys from the past that have this reputation as being the greatest. They don't always stand up to the scrutiny of some of the advanced metrics when you go back and you look at some of the things like wins above replacement in baseball and so forth. Some of these guys lose their luster, but in Jordan's case, he hasn't really lost any of his luster. He's the all-time leader, like I mentioned, in that Raptor stat. But also, if you look at things like win shares for 48 minutes and player efficiency rating and all of these other kind of standbys that you can find at basketballreference.com, he's literally the all-time career NBA leader in all of these stats. And I think that says a lot about, you know, just the durability of his legend, that we haven't really found a stat that can kind of tear him down and the image that was built. And it would be easy to kind of say, oh, you know, Jordan, he's there's a lot of myth making around him, and his image has been kind of built off of that. But it also has been built off of just how good he was and how great his teams were. And they were so great for a reason. And also the way that he did it, by shooting so many mid-range shots and post ups and things like that. It's very different than the way we see somebody like LeBron or Steph Curry or James Harden or some of the people today operate. And I think that it was more difficult to be a hyper-efficient basketball player in Jordan's era than it is today, because they just rely more on the three-pointer and a more efficient set of shots now than mm-hmm. they did during Jordan's era.
The only thing I would say, Neil, and it tells me something that I already believed, which is Jordan's the greatest of all time, is I'm looking at your Raptor rating and the points added, Raptor plus minus, and Jordan's actually tied for the lead with Chris Paul. And I'm just, when I see that, I think, huh, I don't know about Chris Paul is one of the greatest of all time. Good player, but I don't know about Chris Paul above LeBron, or for that matter, I can't find Kareem even in your top, what is that, 20 or so that are listed? So that's the only thing that makes me wonder a little bit about that particular metric.
Well, yeah, and we should say that this is on just purely on a per possession basis. So somebody like Chris Paul, who's constantly injured, great when he's in the lineup, but is going to be dinged if you look at something like total value. But and Kareem, you know, because he had the longevity of his career, would rise up in something that looks at that. But I should also point out that in the story this week, I only looked at the per possession ratings. But if you go back to when we rolled this out in October, I looked at the players that had the biggest mix of career and peak value in their careers. And Jordan also came out number one in that, slightly edging out LeBron. And so I think that that really is another indicator for Jordan is no matter whether you look at it at sort of the just on a possession by possession basis, or if you try to look at the big picture of career value that takes into account things like durability and total minutes played and things like that, he comes out number one no matter how you slice it, which is impressive to me.
Yeah, that part is 100%, I think. I love that it's quantifiable because it was already believable. Neil Payne of 538, senior writer here on The Will Cain Show. Good stuff, Neil. Enjoyed the articles. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Michael Jordan's the GOAT. Whether or not it's by faith or evidence, we arrive at the same place. It's an accountability bowl. Nuno took his victory lap a little bit earlier. We played the calls from WEEI. People in Boston are mad. They're mad at Gronk. They're mad at Brady. But Nuno feels vindicated. He had names like a serial killer. He laid in wait for 18 months, and now he's starting to feel himself. But one of those names, Kevin Winter, comes back with his volley. Next on The Will Cain Show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
What did Gronk do when he was with the Patriots? I mean, was he halfway decent on the field when he was playing? Yeah. But did he have, is he accident prone? Absolutely. I think you guys, a couple of you guys are absolutely hit it on the nail. What else was he? He was a cancer. I mean, he was out doing all this crap at these night shows and stuff. Is he going to pull all that crap down there? Go for it, dude. Have a ball.
Go for it, dude. He's a cancer, but he was halfway decent. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Those calls courtesy of WEEI. You should tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90 Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN. And listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen Jacoby immediately following the broadcast presented by State Farm and AT&T. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. WEEI callers are done with Gronk, kid. And perhaps Brady, too, who they think is done. But one guy who's ready to celebrate is our supreme leader. Nemo's taking his victory lap. He set an 18-month accountability bowl. He's been waiting. He named names. He said they're not very nice people, and he couldn't wait for this Patriots thing to come to an end. It looks like now's his time. One of the names that he mentioned of not very nice people is ESPN SportsCenter update anchor Kevin Winter. And Kevin Winter's here on The Will Cain Show. What's up, kid?
A, I miss you. B, I'm a nice guy. I'm just a jerk when my teams win.
How you going to be when
nice
they lose?
And I was just rubbing in your face.
And how you going to be when they lose? Because Nuno's ready. He's been waiting. Nuno.
Oh, I'm
don't...
sure. Look, I get it. You know, guys like him, Mike A, they've all been waiting to see. At least Nuno's a Giants fan. You know, he's got two titles off of the Patriots. One that we should have probably had, and we could have been the best team in the, you know, look at this we. God, I got to go back to work, Will. What's this we crap I'm saying? right? What's this we stuff?
We's good.
Yeah, I know. We's good. By the way, those callers were awesome. There's a reason I have not turned on the radio during this time away. It's for things like that.
Come on, Winter. You're the kind of fan. You'd write off Gronk in a heartbeat. You're mad, aren't you? You feel betrayed. You're hurt.
I'm not hurt. I'm not hurt at all. Look, if you wonder why, I've always been, aside from the Brady factor, if I'm a disciple and I'm a Kool-Aid drinker of anybody, it's in Bill We Trust. It is absolutely 1,000% in Bill We Trust. I've always been a coach guy, and I get killed for it at times, especially in the days and age of of athletes wanting more power. I mean, Will, I think we just witnessed the first NFL player, maybe not the first, but at least as I've tried to go back and think about, we just witnessed one of the first NFL players control the league like NBA players do. Bob Gronkowski just picked the team that he wanted to go to. That doesn't often happen in the NFL.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Brady, because right before Gronk, Brady did that.
But remember, Brady's a free agent. Brady can do that. Brady's allowed to do that. That's what free agency tells you can do. The other overriding factor is, well, they were tired of Bill. They were tired of Belichick.
Yes,
and that's understandable,
sure.
Right? I mean, if you had the same boss, how long have you had for you and I, what's the longest you've ever had, like whether it's a boss, supervisor, the same voice? How long has that happened? I mean, I probably got one at ESPN, but I've had as my supervisor since 2004 when I got there.
You got names?
He's not on me. What'd you say? Name them?
You got names? Like Nuno's got names.
No, they know who they are. But that person's on. He's not on me every single day of do this. We're doing it this way. You have all these instructions. Which is
who's it?
It's not Urinag. You figure it out. But think about it. What's the longest you've had a boss that would ride you? How long did you do that?
How does Saccone ride you? What does he do?
He doesn't. I told you that. I'm being nice.
All right, Winter.
I haven't been on campus for a while. I still want a job, my friend.
All right, Kevin Winter, noted Pats fan here. One of the names Nuno named. Go get him, Nuno.
No, I want to ask. All right, he's talking about you're a coach guy. How long are you giving Belichick? Belichick?
Belichick is going to stick around until he's ready to give it to his son.
Oh my gosh! It's like royalty. It's a bequeathed job in New England.
That has always been my feeling. Until either his son is ready to control the defense, but now this appears that this is longer than that. Until his son is ready to become the head coach.
Winter, just like those EI callers are done with Gronk and done with Brady. If Bill strings together a couple 7-9 seasons, they're going to be done with Bill as well.
Well, Bill, they can be. But I mean, do you mean, first off, Belichick doesn't go 7-9, okay? Well, hang on. Let me phrase that. Hold on. You're right. He was worse than that when he did that to Tom Brady. So we're about to find out. I get the feeling, if you're asking truthfully, this year, whenever it happens, if it happens, however it happens, becomes back to 2001, where Jarrett Stidham becomes Darnell Jefferson from the movie The Program. See this football? If anyone returns this ball back to me, you're in deep trouble, mister. You're going to be running laps until you pass out. Jarrett Stidham, the ball is going to get handed off to Sony Michel.
He's not showing insecurity. He's not have his tail between his legs. You're running around the track, and he's laughing at you. You're over here ready for your accountability bowl, and Winter doesn't even – this is like a girl who won't even give you the time of day, much less reject
he's
you.
He's talking
she doesn't
about
even know you
like,
exist.
No, this is going to be – this is a 10-6 year, and then it's a rebuild. 10-6 year, and it's a rebuild as long as Belichick's there. That's what
I'm
telling
you. But here's the problem.
You know?
Here's your problem to your analogy, Will. Like, it's – the girl that won't give me the time of day, like, she's delusional. She doesn't realize that, like I'm her best option. I'm her best option. Like, not a 10-6 here. Like, you're a 6-10.
You don't realize. You're feeling rejected, and she doesn't even know you're in the lunchroom. That's the thing.
She
you
doesn't
feel
know
like,
that
oh, she won't even give me, she won't even look my way. She's so stuck up.
You know,
she doesn't
you know,
even know
time,
you exist.
Text me that you want a few minutes with me and not Will, okay?
I know you're prepared, right?
I was. Now that I figured out exactly what the phone call, what the text message was for, okay, now I get it.
Yeah, it's Nuno. He's the one that's been waiting for this moment. By the way, Mike A., what did we say? Nuno, don't crawl into your turtle shell here, Kevin.
I'm so disappointed.
I am too.
Like, Nuno, I'm sitting, Nuno, get him. Get him for me. I'm ready to stand on my desk and yell, oh, captain, my captain. And Nuno just drops the ball.
Yes.
Hi, Mikey.
Hi, Kevy Webby.
I mean, listen, he was nice, though. It's like, you know, as a Giant fan, my team has won two Super Bowls. But Mike A,
then get out of here. Then get out of here. You're not a serial killer who's been waiting 18 months to get to Pat fans. You're a bump on the law.
The first one's going to be sloppy. The first murder's going
to
be sloppy.
I'm about to turn this over to the Jets fan. Mike A,
this is almost as bad as
getting his ass kicked.
This is almost as bad as
by Winter for years.
Mike A has been waiting for this day. He's been waiting for.
I've been waiting for this day for 20 years. This has been building up. I am so happy that I'm going to laugh at you in the hallways of ESPN Sunday after Sunday and Monday after Monday when you finally realize what life is like outside of Thomas Brady. And
yes.
I'm going to laugh
Get him.
At you.
This is what we needed.
This is what we were waiting for.
I'm going to play the role then.
I'm going to drink your anger. It will sustain me. I will start regrowing hair.
And Winter, you tried to sell us on Jarrett Stidham. You tried to sell us on Stidham.
I did a gefilte fish bet with Will. Look at that. Yeah, I still remember the name, big boy. Do we want to do a bet as to which team has a better record, Patriots or Jets?
No, I would never bet Jets versus anybody.
Hey, what bet did you lose to me? Was it Cowboys? It was Cowboys,
Patriots? It was the Cowboys, Patriots, yeah. And I don't even think we did a spread. If we did, it was a low spread. But I lost.
We did, right? Because the Patriots won that game.
That's why you won. It was with the spread.
Yeah, I got the spread.
Why you lost.
That's right, yeah.
You had to eat gefilte fish. All right. Thank God Mike A got you, Winter. Nuno is not a serial killer who laid in wait for 18 months. It turns out he's late. There's something else down the line.
I just heard you do SportsCenter. Do I get that job back or anything anymore?
I don't know.
Only on Mondays to report Patriot losses.
You got a win streak coming, buddy.
Here we go.
All right, Winter. Appreciate you, man.
Bye, boys. See you soon.
That's our SportsCenter update anchor and noted Patriots fan Kevin Winter here on the Will Cain Show. Final four picks of our mockery of a draft next on the Will Cain Show.
Did you know that you can listen to the Will Cain Show on your smart speaker? Just tell it to play ESPN Radio.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Because you have a monopoly on the truth.
Thank you.
Don't worry. More from Will Cain coming up.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It's time for the final four picks of the Will Cain Show Mockery of a Draft. Our first round projection of the NFL Draft is tomorrow night on ESPN. I'm tuned in. I've got two podcasts up. You can go check them out for a deep dive into what will happen in the draft. Not just the first round, but the second, third, fourth, fifth rounds as well. You can go find one with Matt Miller and Lance Zierlein that takes you through what each team needs, who the best finds are, and another with Marcus Mosier and Jonah Tolles on specifically the Dallas Cowboys. You want a deep dive into draft? Go to the Will Cain Show podcast feed and pick up one of those podcasts. Now it's time for pick number 28. It's the Tennessee Titans as represented by Bubba.
It's actually pick 29.
I can't do the math. I didn't write the numbers down. Have you noticed how many times I've messed it up on the numbers?
All right, 29. Titans. Yeah. Few of the old boys been picked already, so I'm going a little deeper here than I would have liked.
Was there something on that other page you've just flipped to that helped you out?
Yeah, I got a lot of notes here. But I got a guy, don't worry. Got it written down right here.
Okay.
With the 29th pick, the Tennessee Titans will pick Isaiah Wilson, offensive tackle from Georgia.
Oh, look at you. Offensive line, huh? Huh. I didn't go through my Titans' needs. So I don't know how dire the offensive line position is for the Tennessee Titans, but Isaiah Wilson is interesting. I think
it replaces Jack Conklin.
Well, I think I would have gone Austin Jackson from USC. I feel like he's higher on the boards, but Wilson's not a bad pick.
Isaiah Wilson is a right tackle.
And Conklin was a right tackle.
Stereotypical right tackle. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, I don't even want to give him. Do you guys want to take his pick away? Next up is the Packers. Nuno's representing.
All right, tough guys.
No, I mean, come on. I mean, you didn't even step up to Kevin Winter a little bit. You spent the entire commercial break, you know, dropping F-bombs and yelling at every single one of us.
How do you argue with someone who's out of their freaking mind?
Who's what, are we in commercial right now?
Who is sitting there?
I did all right.
Who is sitting there telling me I'm good? Belichick, even if he loses, he's going to hand the kids over the car over to the kid. The kid who's
nope, we're back on air.
Mullet. Like that guy's going to be your new coach, and you're going to be good with that. Like
the best nickname I ever gave you was Commercial Break Nuno. There's something about the bright lights in the stage that clams you up.
I got a nickname for you.
What is it?
Hit the chimes, Bubba.
What is it? What's my nickname?
We'll tell you in the break.
Yeah, exactly, Pat.
With the 30th pick, the Green Bay Packers select Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver from Arizona State.
Who?
You heard me, Brandon.
What's wrong?
Ayuk.
Do you feel insecure about your pronunciation?
I don't care how I pronounce it.
Oh my gosh, he's so tough now. He's so tough.
All right, mister, I'm hanging out in Tennessee.
What?
I don't know. Just Ayuk, wide receiver.
We're getting him here. We got him.
He's rattled, but he's like a caged animal now. He's really flailing. I just don't understand why he didn't sick it on Kevin Winter or anything.
Sicking it to Tennessee for some reason.
On air, I know.
Hush up, Pat.
Oh, boy. Nobody will be spared. Pat is on the clock with the San Francisco 49ers for the second last pick in the first round. I'm curious what he'll do. Will he go offensive line? What'd you get with the first pick? You took CeeDee Lamb, so you got a receiver already. We go running back. What do you got?
Could go running back. I don't think they need it. I will go offensive line. This could be a bit of an overreach. I'm not entirely sure, but I'm going to go with Michigan's Cesar Ruiz.
He's good.
He is.
He's the best center in the draft. I don't know the Niners center. Who plays center for the Niners right now? I don't know how solid they're. The thing about an offensive lineman is you take a tackle or a guard, you've got two of each of those. You got a lot of needs. If you pick a center, then you've already got a good one. You just pick the backup. So Mike A., who plays center for the Niners?
What makes you think I'd know Weston Richburg?
I don't know, because you just gave us all that background on Jack Conklin when it came to the Titans.
Chris Jenkins with a K. Weston Richburg with a W.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Right?
You think you would have known Bubba's 90s jam if he told you Cloud was spelled with a K?
Yeah. I would have known at that point it was one of them Jenkins boys. Oh, Sponge with an E on the end? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would have gotten that. And the
you
final pick
for that?
Of the first round, Bubba is back on the clock with the Kansas City Chiefs to round us out.
The Bubba. Champs are here. Ruiz. Woo. Someone I had on the old board. Got to flip over to page 2. Up, and actually page 3 at this point. He's also gone. All right.
Get a receiver.
Oh, the last
pick. I love
pick.
Visual gags on radio.
Settle down. With the 32nd pick, the Kansas City Chiefs will pick DeAndre Swift, running back, Georgia.
Whoa! There's the first running back in the first round. We had Eric Galco, the president of Optimum Scouting, on our show a little bit earlier. He said, watch for running backs in the back half of the first round. We only had one in our mock. He said that fifth-year option is valuable when it comes to running back. And there, the Chiefs.
Is that one a little bit like the Justin Jefferson pick, where, like, every mock has him, so it's not going to happen?
What do you mean? Does a lot of people have the Chiefs taking Swift in their mocks?
Really? Yeah, it's pretty common.
It's a lot of weapons if they end up like that in Kansas City. There's the Will Cain Show mockery of a draft. You want to put that out somewhere? Eh, we're real good at social media. Odds are we'll talk about it and probably not do it. But we might get that up on our Twitter feed at Will Cain or my Instagram at CWillCain. Thinking about doing an IG live during the draft as well so we can all hang out. You should go follow me on one of those and I'll talk about being there and there's a decent chance I'll show up. Who knows? Coming up, you should always draft a quarterback. Pat's the only one that lived up to the standard. He took 2 a second despite the fact the Redskins already have Haskins. Always take a quarterback. Next on the Will Cain Show.
This is Will Cain.
Jerry in New Jersey. What's up, Jerry?
This is just making me sick.
That accent? Are you doing that?
Well, this is how I talk.
Go
on. Okay, so let me finish.
I'm going to let you finish.
You make me sick.
More from Will Cain coming up.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
This day in baseball history with Tim Kirkjian.
Hi, this is Tim Kirkjian, and on this date in 1959, Tito Francona was born. He's maybe the best manager in the game. He definitely will be a Hall of Fame manager someday. He's the absolute master at diffusing difficult situations and easing the tension in the room with his humor. Many years ago, in a packed interview room at Fenway Park, a Japanese reporter tried to ask a question in English. Poor guy, God bless him. He struggled so badly, it took him at least a minute to ask the question. Everyone in the room was uneasy. And then Tito smiled, looked at him, and said, "You're from Western Pennsylvania, aren't you?" Which, of course, is where Tito is from. He worked at ESPN for 1 year. His first assignment, they put us at Camp Wilderness, which was not a hotel. It was individual log cabins in the middle of the woods, complete with bunk beds like we were in the Cub Scouts. So after 10 minutes, he calls my cabin and says, "You want to come over to my cabin? We'll go out in the back and make some s'mores." I have a dog named Tito. I told him that, and he said, "I bet he poops all over the house." And Tito has a scooter, which he rides to the ballpark every day. One day he gave me a ride, looked at me, and said, "Now this is Dumb and Dumber."
Always draft a quarterback, no matter the position or the need. Provided a few little asterisks. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. The Last Dance, 10-part docuseries chronicling the untold story of the Chicago Bulls dynasty, is now on ESPN. If that's not enough, a new episode of Detail on ESPN Plus premieres this Sunday with Dennis Rodman, analyzing Chicago's 111-105 regular season win over Dallas on December 29th, 1997. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. I've said on this show for years, you should always draft a quarterback. They're lotto tickets. It's not dictated by need. It's not dictated by draft position. Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL front office insider, a man I highly respect and a frequent guest here on the Will Cain Show, put my maxim, the thing I believe, always draft a quarterback, to the test. When on Get Up, he said this.
What if Jordan Love is sitting there when the Cowboys go to pick at 17? Wouldn't that cause some, well, it caused a lot of excitement here in this office where I'm going to be sitting on draft night. I can tell you that if they were to call his name at that spot, and you think we talk about the Cowboys a lot now, oh my goodness, that would be that, but that's got to be a discussion. I mean, that would have to be part of the discussion for them. If that young man is sitting there at 17 when they're on the clock on Thursday night, it has to be
part of the discussion, perhaps pulling the trigger. No. How do I reconcile with that what I just told you? I believe you should always take the quarterback, even if you already have one. Pat, in our Will Cain Show mockery of a draft, which we've conducted over the last 2 days, a full first-round mock draft, he took with the second overall pick for the Washington Redskins, Tua Tagovailoa. And I think it was the right call. Jimmy Johnson, Fox football analyst, said on a webcast the other day with Kurt Menefee and Howie Long and Reggie Bush that if the Detroit Lions and the New York Giants cannot trade out of the third and fourth pick in this draft, well, then they should take the quarterbacks, Tua and Justin Herbert, if they are available. He knows full well that the Lions have Matthew Stafford, and he, like I, like Stafford and believe in Stafford. He knows just last year the New York Giants took Daniel Jones. But the point is, and this is what Jimmy Johnson suggested, quarterbacks are lotto tickets. They're appreciating assets. Whatever you spend on them now, you'll be able to flip later, perhaps two ones, perhaps a one and a two. That's generally true. I think there are some exceptions, like Josh Rosen with the Arizona Cardinals didn't go up in asset value after spending a top 10 pick on him and then backing it up with Kyler Murray the next year. But most do appreciate in value, or they're better than the guy you already have in-house. Tua, if he doesn't appreciate in value, might just be better than Dwayne Haskins. And you replace Dwayne Haskins and you have a franchise quarterback and you have an asset in Haskins. I believe you take the quarterbacks. They're lotto tickets. They're chances for upgrades. They're appreciating assets for you to trade, provided you believe they are franchise quarterback, provided you believe they are that guy. I do not think Jordan Love is that guy. I think he regressed over his senior season, and I don't believe he's a franchise quarterback. It's not about the Cowboys. It's about Jordan Love. That's why I wouldn't take him at number 17, even with Dak Prescott in the fold. Otherwise, I believe the analysis is true for Tua, for Herbert, for the Lions, for the Giants, and even for the Redskins. Always draft the quarterback if you believe they're the real deal. Tomorrow is the NFL draft. We'll get you all set up here on The Will Cain Show.
Thank you for listening to The Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.